This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki in New Plymouth, thanks to New Zealand On Air. For more local content, search for accessradiotaranaki.com.
Tēnā koutou e te whānau. Nau mai haere mai ki te waka witi witi kōrero marunga te irirangi ki tea. Welcome to our show, Talking About Seeing, here on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4. Each week, people who don't see and some who don't hear as well are going to talk to each other about what makes their lives tick. We have lots to talk about, so here goes.
Tēnā koutou, I'm Lance Gerling Butcher from the Blind Low Vision Local Committee, actually, and together with Access Radio, we're going to talk today about a new development in Taranaki that has really excited those members of the organisation with gardening aspirations. And it's an audio described tour of gardens in Taranaki as part of the Taranaki Arts Festival Trust Garden Festival. This was so novel that Robin Martin from Radio New Zealand came along with us for a while and did an interview, which has since been donated to Access Radio. So we're going to have some snippets from that included in this talk today.
I'd like to welcome you all here. I'm Graham Worthington, wife Jan. So Jan and I arrived here 10 years ago and saw the potential of the place. Obviously the mature trees were here, but in underneath they'd been let go quite badly. So in this time we've changed the landscape quite considerably to get it to where it is today and enjoy it with other people. So this big extension from the bay window back to the left is the old villa, which is 110 years old. And the big extension to the right here is only 16 years old and has been built in keeping with the old villa look. Okay, so I'm going to hand over the tour to Jan, who's going to talk to you about certain parts of the garden of interest, and hope you enjoy the walk around.
Just one other thing is we've named the property Herworth Country Garden because we're in the Herworth district, and ever since high school days he's been called Worth, short for Worthington, as they nicknamed them all in high school time. And so I'm the Her and he's the Worth, so the meaning is a little bit of a double meaning, so we just had to go. So yeah, lovely to have you all here. So really, all what you see around, other than the tall specimen trees, we've done in the last possibly 8 years. The first 4 years we were here, it was nothing but chainsaw and weed spray, because that was just a jungle. Nobody looked after it for probably 30 years.
Was there lawn still in amongst it, or?
Yeah, sort of. Well, you could just paddock, really. Just paddock. But we were lucky because someone, you know, 30, 40 years ago had the foresight to put those beautiful exotic trees. And we are the ones reaping the rewards today.
What sort of trees are they?
Well, they're down the back. You may see a dark tree, that's Copper Beech. And we've got liquid ambers, ash, weeping elm. We've also got kauri, titoki, Banksia, the ones with those hard cones. Established cherry trees here. Magnolias, which got hit by the frost in that first week in October. We had that heavy cold snap. They all went brown. So in this area where the fountain is, there were huge cabbage trees, huge, and they were that big that they were just about growing into the veranda of the house. So one day when I was in town, came home, husband had chopped them all off. There's this huge mess over the lawn, and okay, well, I sort of said, okay, yeah, good riddance, because they were messy on the lawn and you had to pick them up before mowing the lawn, all the leaves. But the thing is, with cabbage trees, they regenerate very quickly. So it led to a digger. It led to a truckload of metal going into that area where the fountain is. It fixed them and never got them back again. I love cabbage trees, but not
in the right.
They've
place.
Got to be in the right place. Yes. So we put the fountain in about 5 years ago, and sort of established that more formal area. Yeah. We've lived here for 10 years. Yes, just love it. Handy to town, but still country.
Yes.
Yes, we are living here. It's a big house. The house was all renovated prior to us buying, so we were lucky that we could focus on the outside. And it was tastefully done inside with the old villa look. So let's come on down. Yes, all on grass now. That's Teucrium there. Can you see that? Grey is Teucrium. Grows very fast.
You find something that you can work on.
I love the box hedging, and that's what I'd call it, so I don't know any other
things. Inside there's box hedging.
Really?
It's a sort of a greeny colour that's, and that's a more established.
This is lovely.
Yes.
Really like it.
You almost feel it, it's like real.
It almost looks like you can stand.
That's lovely.
And then over here we've got three huge, big, mature weeping cherries, and they're just coming out now, so they're a bit later.
So we're sort of coming out into a really wide, open grass area. There's gardens to the left, and then there's sort of like a little, I call it like a little island in the middle, with more gardens, and all the edges are really curvy. So we're in a nice big open area with gardens to either side, so you can sort of wander really in any direction. Yeah, and my name's Chanel Carrick. I'm actually a pictorial curator at Pukeariki, but I'm really fortunate to have had some audio description training over lockdown. A whole bunch of us got training online while we were working from home, so I'm one of the three audio describers for this event.
So what is the key to making that work then?
Yeah, I think it's about observing our visitors and noticing whether they're hesitating or whether they are confidently moving forward, and making sure that they're just aware of the wider surroundings. So with a group like this, we have people who have really mixed levels of vision. So some people will be able to see anything that's up close to them, but when you come out into a really large space like this, it can be quite challenging to sort of tell where to go, what direction you're heading in, what's around you. And so I suppose it's about observing who you're walking with and trying to notice what they might need and preempting a little bit of what they might need.
It's quite different from being in an art gallery, eh?
Yeah.
So describing what you're seeing, is that also part of it?
It is part of it. I actually do see it as very similar to describing a painting. You know, most of my experience so far has been in describing artworks, because that's the field that I work in. But you can kind of do different levels of description. You can describe a general area. You can describe movement through a space. You can go right down to the detail of describing one flower and its petals and its colour and its texture and its smell. So you're really trying to paint a picture, I suppose, but through words. So it's really challenging, but I think it's also a really creative process in its own right. It's a little bit, if you get really, really good audio describers, which, you know, we're very new to this, but it's quite beautiful, and it can be quite poetic, especially when you're trying to explain to people how something looks in terms of its colour or in terms of its scale. You're always thinking about using references that will actually be relatable to that person. So you can't say, oh, it's as big as a mandarin, because mandarins can be tiny and they can also be big, you know. So you've got to think about how that relates to the body. So you think about the size of someone's, the palm of their hand or their little fingernail, or how far they can reach with their arms outstretched. So you're always trying to relate it back to someone's physical experience, because that's what they embody the most.
Hugely rewarding, I imagine.
Yeah, really rewarding and really fun, you know, really awesome group of people. We know a lot of these people personally through their visits to Pukeareke Museum or through other accessibility events that we've been involved with, so it's actually just really lovely to come and spend the day with them and hopefully help them have a really rich and fun and also relaxing experience. It doesn't have to be too formal. I might bring you over here, Lance, to the right. There's some really gorgeous deep red aces, some maple trees, and they're one of my favourites, so maybe we could have a talk about that. So if you turn a little bit more to your right.
I'm totally valuable.
Absolutely.
Keep me into any shape.
And if you keep coming forward a little bit more, you'll feel that the ground changes from grass to being a bark surface. So where your stick is now is in the garden, so you're about 30 centimetres away from the edge of the garden.
Right.
And then if you reach out your hand, you can probably a little bit further and down a little bit more, and you'll be able to just a wee bit more, there we go, and you can feel this gorgeous maple. And it's one of the really feathery maples.
It is.
It's so fluffy, isn't it?
Yes,
it's so lovely.
Beautiful.
So this is a really, really deep purpley red. It's, I suppose it's the colour of a good Merlot, really. It comes up from a central trunk, and it's only really at about, probably about chest height on you, Lance, so it's not a very tall maple, and it just weeps down really gently, and it's probably about an arm's width wide, so if you were to stretch your arms right out, you would be able to see the, to feel the width of that tree, so it's quite a lovely small maple.
Yeah.
And there's actually two of these on either side of a path, so we've got one in front of you here, and then one over on the left, and it creates this lovely structure, I suppose, to this part of the garden because it invites people to walk through the middle in between them, and it's really contrasting against all the lovely greens that we've got around. So there's some lovely grey green and some hostas. There's some bulbs that have finished flowering and died off, so I'm not sure what they are, but they've still got all their lovely structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's a few little pansies and things kind of around on the ground, but it's obvious that these maples are very they're features in the garden.
No, that is excellent. And what you don't appreciate is that one of the things I miss most about not being able to see is I used to love just standing or sitting and watching things like this, you know. There is, yes, it's a, yeah, I can't afford to think like that or I get all sad and morbid, but it's wonderful to have that description. See, I can't see anything. I'm totally blind, and I wasn't a few years ago, but it snuck up on me. So a description like that is changes the whole complex of the thing.
Kia ora, my name is Tetsu Garnett. I'm the Centuria Taranaki Garden Festival Manager.
So a really cool new initiative this year at the Garden Festival. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, at TAFT we're really passionate about accessibility, and after doing a bit of investigation into the sector, we realised there's a real need to have this kind of offering. So I knew, I have worked with Callum from Weir Brothers previously. One of the key factors for this group is that transport was a real issue. So it was a matter of bringing key people into the idea of this, and yeah, it all kind of worked out.
And it opens up gardens for a bunch of people who've maybe experienced them in the past, in the case of some of the people here, and you know, the very skillful reading, I thought, or just interpretation of what people were seeing. Yeah, opening it up to another group of people, is that what you were hoping to do?
Oh, absolutely. So the Garden Festival is an accessible festival. We have gardens that are flat, so wheelchair access, gardens that have golf carts on offer, but to have an audio described garden tour is something completely different that I thought that, you know, these people are missing out as well. So partnering with Pukeareke to be able to have audio describers was huge, and then the transport with Callum coming on board and offering the free bus. And so, you know, when you work with like-minded people to be able to offer this service, you know, the community really comes together and it's fantastic.
So I'm Callum Chapman from Weir Brothers in Hauwera, an operations manager for them. In the last 4 years we've been operating garden tours, and this year Tetsu offered something a little bit different in terms of accessibility. which is a big thing for people that have mobility issues or, you know, low vision. So I thought it's great to get on board and offer something different for people that can't actually get out and do it themselves. And so it was a no-brainer, really, to supply a vehicle to help these people get out and enjoy the gardens that we have on show here in Taranaki. It's been marvellous.
And that's something you guys have just done out of the kindness of your heart, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Working with Tetsu previously, it's been amazing. And, yeah, this is, for me personally, something that we can offer back to the festival and to help get it off the ground. Hopefully, sort of, if we can continue it and it grows, gets bigger, then it enables people to get out and about and know that they've got, I guess it's a safety factor, know that they're being looked after more than anything, and they don't have to find their own mode of transport to get around the gardens, and they can all go together as a group.
My name is Margaret Krieger.
So I noticed before when we were going around and you reached out, is that one way now how you experience?
Actually, it is. I'm I touch, so I've got to be very gentle if I'm in a garden, and I'm always gentle. I touch and feel, and it's a nice way of finding out what the actual material of the flower is. I know that sounds silly, but the actual touch of the flower, the shape of the leaf and colour. I loved that bush because it reminded me of the box hedging, which I really like because it's tidy, and it indicates a shape for me because normally there's something inside the box hedging, but that one was really pretty. I liked that. I liked the colour because the colour stood out amongst the green grass.
Yeah. And how fantastic is this service for you then, this idea of guided garden tour?
Well, this is the first time we've done it, and I think we're going to really notice the difference when we go without our scenic tour guide, and we're going to be on our own, and so we're going to have to discover the plants ourselves. And I think that's where you're going to really see. This is amazing. I stopped going to gardens because I got bored, because I didn't know what I was looking at. But this is tremendous. I'm hoping this will take off.
So Jan, like, how exciting is it for you as the homeowner to have to share your garden with people who, you know, essentially can't see it? So they're having you've done a bit of descriptive work, and then they've got these people who are trained in it. How exciting is that for you?
Oh, look, it's absolutely wonderful to share. And I think the beauty of it is that you know, they're looking for other things because they're visually impaired. They're wanting to touch, feel, and, you know, that smell. And so we've been picking leaves, lavenders, flowers, you know, for them to have that other sensory experience. And it's just lovely to be able to share with them. And having a garden like this that's relatively flat, you know, they feel safe. And I think that's important. And, you know, I mean, you look at the chatter around, they're all so happy to be out here enjoying nature.
Tena koutou, it's Slade Skirling Butcher here in the Access Radio studio, doing the final in our series of talking about seeing interviews. And today's is sort of evolved out of events as much as anything. But first, I better introduce my guests, the two McCulloch girls. There's Bev on my left and Helena on my right. They are dynamic members of the blind community here, with strong opinions on a lot of things. And out there and get them and go sort of attitude that I really admire. They're also keen gardeners. And today we're going to talk about a recent development where the Taranaki Arts Festival Trust had offered us a tour of a group of selected gardens. And we'd just like to discuss our reaction to that and what we discovered on the tour. So just to make it clear, I am not a garden expert and I can't even see anything. So people will ask why I went. It was, for me, it was a wonderful outdoor experience. I tend to be more of the tree-hugging, flower-smelling, bird-listening sort of person, whereas these two, I hope, will give us a much more experience. So, Bev, do you want to start?
I loved it. I love gardens, so just wandering around gardens is, you know, joy to me. But having someone to describe what was there and what was happening is extra special.
Yes, we had a group of people, of oral describers, is how I describe them, from Bukiariki who came along with us. There were almost as many of them as there were of us, but that worked out quite well because at times we could break out into smaller groups, or there were half of a dozen of us, and there was also a driver from Weir Brothers Transport who provided the bus without charge, so we've got to thank them as well. Helena, what was your sort of overall feeling?
I was actually really amazed. Having Taranaki Arts Festival Trust pick up on an idea that was suggested to them in one of their community forums about what Taft is doing and what they could do better to make all their festivals and activities accessible. It was fantastic that they actually picked up on the idea and ran with it and put something together using an audio describer who had recently been trained from Pukeriki, and also bringing on board the people from the hosts from the garden, the people, the owners of the gardens, bringing them on board with us as well. And so for me, it was a dream come true. It was something that I had wanted to do for the whole time that I've ever lived in Taranaki. I've wanted to go on a garden tour and have a look at some of the festival gardens, but not having no vision or not enough vision to be able to drive a vehicle, and not having friends and family that were interested in going, I wasn't able to attend. So this was just fantastic. And I thank the people that organised it hugely. It was great.
Bev, did you learn or did you discover anything that you can use yourself, or was it just the pleasure of being in someone else's garden?
I think it's the pleasure of being in other people's gardens.
Were you saying?
I like cottagey garden stuff, and it was, you know, it was good to see how people would mix colours and things like that, which I found really interesting. It's, for a visually impaired person, the worst thing to do is have a cottage garden, because you don't see the perennials until they're quite big, and you're not sure if they're weeds or the perennials popping up, and the annuals, you can't, if they're self-seeders, you know, I end up weeding them out. So yeah, it was good to see all these different annuals and perennials, different colours. It was, yeah, great.
I had to just rely on what I was described, but they were very good at finding plants that had an interesting scent or an interesting feel. Cat's ear was a ground cover with a leaf that felt like a cat's ear, for example, and of course there's all sorts of smelly plants that you can love. Helena, how about you?
One of the things that I did learn, which I have probably more vision than most of the people who went on the tour, but what I actually learned was how effective a trained audio describer is in bringing everything together and creating or painting a picture for someone without sight by drawing upon all the other senses that are kind of piqued by going to a garden. The senses like smell and hearing and touch, like hearing bees, smelling the flowers, and how they draw this image that paints a picture for a visually impaired person. And I think that without the training, it would be difficult for the general layperson to do that. So it showed me how effective audio description can be.
Yes, it's quite difficult because you can't use comparisons, because you're often asking comparing what you can see with things like clouds or cars.
Yes, I did think about that, and I thought, well, in some respects, there's going to be two paths in audio descriptive training, where one would be, yes, you can use comparisons because maybe, I don't know, 60% of visually impaired people had great sight and then lost it over the years. So they actually do have a memory and a log in their head of what clouds look like or colours and stuff. But then there's the minority of people who have never had vision, and then describing things is going to be a completely different pathway. It's going to be a completely different way of describing than comparing to something that somebody has experienced in their life before they lost their vision.
Just talking about completely different, the six gardens we went to were Hurworth Country Garden, which I believe
there was five gardens, sorry.
No, there were supposed to be six, but we cut the end one off. It was the old colonial hospital grounds. We were supposed to go in there. But anyway, they designed us. Yeah, and I'll explain why shortly. But that appeared to be just being developed, although it was pretty well established, would you say?
The Hurworth Country Garden?
Yeah, the first one we went to. I got the feeling that was just, that they hadn't long been
established. Yeah, I can't remember the exact history of that place, but it might have been within the last 10 years. They did talk about how they cleared a whole lot of area and made lawns and left some of the established trees to provide a structure and a backdrop for all the other stuff. So they had lots of established trees there that were like the copper beeches and et cetera that were part of the structure of the garden.
And the next one was also up Carrington Road, and I think it's called Yew Gardens.
Yew Gardens, yes, it's got a driveway with lots of yew trees.
So that's, yeah, they kill cows, don't they?
They're very poisonous.
Yes. Well, that to me, that had quite a large lawn. It also had other attractions, like a very interesting old villa that had been moved on there some years ago. We had a pool.
Yes, that was something you asked earlier. You asked Mum whether she learnt something, and I learnt at that garden that turtles can live outside all year in Taranaki, and that three-legged dogs can't jump into a pond. So the dog was absolutely fascinated by the turtles, and the owner of the garden said all he wants to do is catch the turtles. So he spent a lot of time going around the edge of the pond, but it was quite quite a structured pond. It didn't just slope in, it had a big edge around it so the dog couldn't jump in. But yeah, that garden had a lot of repetitive type planting, rose beds with catmint and stuff all around it that had been repeated in the same plants over and over quite a lot.
It seemed to be quite close to an area of bush, native bush as well.
Yes, there was a lovely view from the house down into a valley, and I think there was a bit of bush behind there.
One of the things I noticed, because I am so blind, was the vast difference in the bird life we encountered. That all of the gardens had a different sound to them in that respect. And the first garden seemed to have been less natives. That garden had a lot of native sounding birds. I'm lucky to live very next near to the back of Pukekura Park, where I go for a walk every day, and the thing I love about that is the bird sound, just amazing. Dominated by tuis, but there's a lot of other species in there, and I've actually downloaded a bird call website and tried to learn some of these. I don't know whether I'm succeeding or not, but that was the interesting part about this trip. And the next garden we went to, which is the Waiongana on the main road out to Waitara, that was totally different again, and it sort of occurs in two halves. There's a top with, what would you call those structures we were walking through, Bev, do you think? Could you see them?
Pergolas?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of had structured beds with paths between and edges around the beds, wooden framing and pergolas and box hedges, and it had, yeah, it did have several parts to that garden, a very formal and then a
wild one,
more mum style.
Mum style.
Except they didn't have weeds.
Mum style, cottage garden, everything everywhere, no plan.
Well, I must mention, by the way, that Bev is part of a gang of gardeners who work together on each other's gardens or other people who need gardening help. And they undertake some pretty massive projects, really. I've got a sighted guy who is the transport manager, and they've got a cook, and you'll never guess who she is, but I believe she gets down there too with the heavy equipment. Is that right, Bev?
Not a lot.
You leave it to the boys.
Yeah, I do the cooking and weeding and stuff like that, but I don't go all the time. I'm trying to twist their arm to let me become an honorary man, honorary boy.
Well, I don't think the cook should be honorary. The cook's a really important person.
You do use a sabre saw in your garden, don't you?
That's my latest toy. Yep. Got a sabre saw. You've had a turn with it too, haven't you?
Yep.
I should tell the listeners that these two ladies don't actually live in the city. They've got this wonderful valley. They don't live together either. They're neighbours, but they've got the opportunity to do some pretty amazing stuff in their properties, and they do. So hence their expertise and their presence here today. So we had lunch at Waiongana, which I'm pronouncing incorrectly, but I don't quite know how. There's no G sounds in Māori, but somehow we've European.
Yeah, I've always known as Waiongana, so I can't help with the correct pronunciation.
If you don't sound the G and you sound the NG like Namutu, that's what you're supposed to do anyway, but I haven't managed to do that. I've been trapped by a cultural ignorance. So then we went to...
So another feature of the Waiongana garden was their wooden, their timber or tree branch walls. That was something they showed us. When they cut down a whole lot of shelter belts, they cut them into maybe, I don't know, a foot long pieces, and they stacked them all up. Instead of having a masonry stone wall, they stacked it all up in the same way so that they all locked together really solidly. And they had all these walls that...
They were neat.
Yeah, that you could feel and touch and see how they all linked together, and stuff was starting to grow on them, and that was something. And they're also well known for their peonies, but unfortunately the peonies weren't out. They're usually out during the garden festival, but this year the weather's been different.
My desire for warmth had me thinking, what a wonderful supply of firewood this
is. I know, so did I.
Oh, well, I saw them and I thought, oh, that'd be like badminton, like cross-country jumps and stuff for horse riding. I could rush up there and jump those walls.
Anyway, they were pretty impressive. The other thing with that one, I really couldn't detect a lot of bird life around there. Maybe it's too close to the sea or too out in the country or something. Their coffee was very nice anyway. And then we came back into town, and we went to the Kunming Garden, which has always fascinated me. Kunming is our sister city. I think it's in northwest China. And we've reciprocated. They've given us this garden, which is totally composed of materials bought from China. Even the plants are Chinese. And we've sent them a garden, which both are maintained by people from the home cities. So there were eight workmen who built this pergola and the plantings. The interesting thing was that the dominant bird was a tui, so it must like Chinese plants. Anyway, what were your impressions there, Bev?
I liked it. There wasn't many flowers, though. It was mainly shrubs and trees.
Yeah.
But the decorations and everything, the pergola and the
spring house, I think it was called.
Was it?
Yeah, the Chinese spring house or spring pavilion or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But even the gate was flash, and you could feel up on the roof of the archway that it had the tiles with little people on them, were they?
Yes, apparently. Yeah. And the gate was oval, and it was a moon gate, so it obviously has some symbolism attached to it in that respect. But the woodwork, there aren't any nails or screws used in it. It's all carefully built so that the joints lock together.
That's right. I had all the paintings on the roof as well, didn't it?
Patterns, yeah, and the audio describers did a fantastic job of telling us all about that.
Yeah, because I couldn't see those.
Each panel had a different bird and a different symbol and different colours, golds and different, and they described them. They were, the roof of the pavilion was, I don't know, not very good at judging distance, but maybe 3 metres up above.
Yeah, I'd say so.
2.5, 3 metres. So my vision couldn't go that far. I could see there was shapes and maybe a bird, but I didn't know what kind of bird it was.
I just saw colours.
And a very skillful use of lawn and perspective and curved paths, and it was a very natural feeling and very tranquil, very, very interesting. What, as a person who is interested in woodwork too, I found the construction was a bit similar to, and we didn't actually go in there because we ran out of time, but the Colonial Hospital, which is next door, has a similar curved timbers and is held together by the same kind of use of timber joints as the pavilion, and it has its own sort of more English type lawn. It was the first hospital in New Plymouth, and it's been moved from, I'm not quite sure where it was, but it's got a lovely grounds as well.
Otherwise known as the Gables, is that correct?
Yes,
that's what I know it is.
Mike Smither, who was one of Taranaki's leading artists, and his family lived in it, but they found it very cold in winter and it didn't last long as caretakers. But it's all of this area is part of WOMAD as well, and during WOMAD they tend to have special stalls there, and it's an interesting part of the place. So then we went to one of the what's it called? The
Hen and Chickens.
Part of the Hen and Chickens, but it has its own name.
That was Hurst Cottage.
Hurst Cottage, and it's an historic. There is a large house which the parents belong to, and I think eight of these little cottages, which aren't so little actually when you get to them, that the kids lived in. Near the end or the western end of Pendava Street. I think it's 94 Pendava. And that's got a similar use of lawn as the Kunming Garden has. So it's a large lawn, and the house is set well at the back of the property in black and white to stripes, and very authentic inside. If you want to make any changes, you've got to go to the Historic Places Trust to get permission. Like, I think they did away with the original slates and put cast wrought iron on there, but
so that garden was different in many ways, and it had different levels and little corners and things tucked away, which was an interesting choice for visually impaired people to go and view. But because of the different levels and because it had different gravel and paving stones, and then some of the paving stones weren't paving stones, they were grasses, Mondo grasses. So did either you, Mum or Lance, have any trouble getting around that garden, or was it, I know there were a lot of helpers.
It was very difficult for me because yep. I've got no sight, no ability to navigate on my own. But I had a lovely man, John, who was a volunteer from yep. Pukeariki, who took me in hand and led me through the wonderland. But there didn't seem to be many straight lines in the paths.
No, it was very. And what about? Was it? Were you okay with that, Mum?
Up and down.
Yeah, that was fine. With the other, the volunteers and that, it was.
Visually, it was with the vision that I've got. It was beautiful.
White, wasn't it?
White and black.
Did that meet your taste? In cottage gardens?
Yeah, that wasn't bad. Yeah, it just about meets my taste.
But it was a little tricky, mobility-wise.
Up and down, and
Be a nightmare to keep clear of weeds, I would think, because there seemed to be properly planted plants all over the place that would have been hard to differentiate the weed from the. Yes, they're very old, and hence the fact that they're in the heritage list, and very enthusiastic owners those cottages have. In fact, I was very good friends with the woman who lived there for most of my time in Taranaki, Saidi Strang. She was one of the leading thespians in town, used to direct everything from small plays to operatic shows, and she was very experienced with the theatre. So you can tell by listening to us how enthusiastic we were about what we saw and the assistance that we got. I just found it a wonderful day out, really. As I say, I'm no expert. My wife was a very good gardener, and I was just the muscle that trimmed the trees and mowed the lawns. But she actually developed quite a lovely little cottage garden that I would have been very proud to show you, Bev. Lots of perennials, and I was more a just stick a shrub in there and forget it sort of gardener. But I guess there's space for us all. So overall, I gather that they're going to do it again. So how do you feel about that?
I would like to break into at least two groups next time, and the more agile people can wander off with a audio describer and see more of the gardens, because I know that most of the gardens we went to, we didn't look around the whole garden.
Yeah.
I would like to, I walk pretty well, so I'd like to have gone and had a good old nosy.
Well, it was a sight to see striding down the road behind her dog.
I guess that means that they need another audio describer.
I had three.
No, a trained audio describer. Oh, the see. Other two didn't have the skill set that Chanel had to describe the stuff. I mean, they did talk about the things. But it was the first time that they've done an audio describe tour, so I think the fact that everything worked and everything went well and there's positive feedback means that I'm sure they will try it again. And hopefully they will do some different gardens next year.
Yeah,
so we get to
people.
See some different gardens and, yes, get some and attract some more people. Maybe you could open it up to or advertise it a bit more throughout our region, but also maybe throughout the North Island. Maybe it could be something that could attract other visually impaired people from other areas, because the Garden Festival itself does attract heaps of people to Taranaki, and it's definitely and adds to our GDP.
Oh, it's huge. Now, I did, before this, I contacted the staff at Taft, and they haven't worked out their final figures yet, and they do an evaluation of its financial benefits, but they said they think they had the best attendance they've had for a while, or forever actually, and an even larger than 75% of those come from outside the region. So, you know.
Yeah, so that could be something that our audio describe tour could use.
Yes, absolutely. Get people who feel about gardening as you two do, or as I do really, I suppose, get them involved too. Incidentally, it was known as the Rhododendron Festival, and I can't remember when it started, but it was years ago. One of the good things about this year was that quite often it happens at the end of October and in November, and we tend to get equinoxial gales, but we haven't had a severe one that's disrupted it this year, or even heavy rain. So I think that would have added to its attractions. Whether that's global warming working for us or again,
I think it was just luck, because we've had some pretty crap weather since then.
I mean, we had a sort of semi-overcast day, which probably helped, because it gets very hot if you don't get that cloud cover.
I know that the visually impaired community around the country were quite envious. I know up in Auckland they do an audio work in a couple of the rose gardens when the rose festivals and that are on. They do audio describe up there, but it was on our email list all about what we had, and a lot of people were quite jealous. So yeah, we could maybe
make an event out of it, billet people, or and have a audio described garden tour dinner that night or something.
What I like about it is it's an example of yet another Taranaki organisation that's listening to its members and doing what it can to assist. And, you know, that's a trend that's increasing in Taranaki. We've had several new developments this year that have involved us in things that would have been impossible for us to attend before. There's even things that are being repeated because they've been so successful, and that's across a wide range of organisations too. I think one of the groups that we should really thank for part of that is Arts Access Aotearoa, who since about 2010 have held regular meetings for these sort of organisations and shared ideas and encouraged the development of audio description. And it started really, for me anyway, I was on the council at a stage where we were rethinking our strategy for access, and Gavette Brewster were one of the first to pick up and go with it, and they, with the aid of Arts Access, we started these touch tours.
That is actually one of my favourite events to attend, at the Len Lai Gavette Brewster, because I've travelled around the world a bit, you know, been to Europe, been to America, been to Egypt, and
I told you she was a goer.
I love museums, but you can't read the stuff that's on the wall. Mm. You can't read about what all the history and all the ins and outs and all the stuff that goes along with the exhibition. So you just go along and you look at stuff and you go, oh, yeah. Then you just move to the next bit and go, oh, yeah. And you move to the next bit. But the audio described description at the Gavette Brewster is fantastic, because it tells you the stuff that's on those plaques, it tells you the history, it tells you a little bit more. In fact, you actually learn more than you would have if you'd just gone and read everything, because they give you some behind the scenes information, and sometimes they will provide things you can touch, parts of it, not parts of the exhibit, but similar materials that you're allowed to touch.
Molin Lai, for example, used a lot of stainless steel, and it's very special stainless. So just being able to feel how thick it is and how shiny and all those kind of characteristics, it just is another aspect to it. There was a recent exhibition where Poise, this is the Māori, it's not a pie, it's a poi, on the end of a string, and they let us feel those. So yeah, it's worked really, really well. They also get some exhibitions, and of course with someone like Len Lai, his statues move and make noises and lights flash, and even those with very limited vision can get that aspect from them as well. If I get people saying to me, well, when you go to the art gallery, you can't see the pictures, and who needs to see a picture if they've got a good audio description of it? And that background material is really good, I think. Do you go here?
Go.
To the art gallery?
Yeah, that's one of my favourite events, is going to the Sense Art Tour. So, yes.
So anyway, now we'll just quickly, before we wind up, because we've gone on a bit in our wild enthusiasm here, another example is the Operatic Society, for the first time, did an audio-described production of Matilda, which wasn't the easiest show to do, because right in the middle of it there's this huge, I think it's a fight, but it's certainly very fast-moving. The poor old audio describer started sounding like a sports commentator and keeping up with the action. But that's something that's going to be repeated, so we'll be right into that. This year we're also going to have a tour of the Light Festival of Lights, where it's a sort of a bit like WOMAD in a way. They have a series of light and sound installations around the park that fit in with the surrounding vegetation, and we get these electric buses and tour the whole thing with an audio description of what they're all like. There are also concerts, which of course we can go to and listen, lots of music. There's a concert which we can all, the festival, it's Christmas carol type thing, and then there's a separate concert. We've got WOMAD coming up. We've got,
yeah, hopefully, I'm interested to see what's going to happen with WOMAD, because that was part of, we put in a lot of feedback at our community forum about things that they could do to help WOMAD be more accessible. So I'm really keen to see what that's, if they're going to implement any of the suggestions.
They've always been very good at listening to us. I'm on the Age and Access Issues Party, and one of the big things they have are these little carts that they can run people around, because the site at Brooklands is quite steep and not everybody can get up and down the hills. And that what they tend to do is alternate on the two big stages. So if there's something on at the bowl, there'll be little stages around it being used. And if there's something in Brooklands where they've got an equal size stage, they've actually put a lot of effort into it, and they have a little booklet to help visitors who have special needs. But
no, so basically the future for events and activities in Taranaki for access is looking really good.
It is, and it's exciting that so many different organisations are getting involved, like the art gallery, the museum, the library, TIFT in its way, park staff. It's very promising, and it seems to be increasingly aware of it all, and we are the beneficiaries, and we are really happy about that. So thank you, ladies, for coming along today, and thank you to Access Radio as well for giving us this opportunity to tell the world about something we're so proud about and we enjoy so much. Anyone want to have a little final word, Bev?
No. Thank you to the Taranaki Arts Festival Trust and the Tetsu, the garden coordinator, for that, for doing this, the audio described garden tour. Much appreciated.
And Helen? Was that you?
That was her, yeah.
Oh, well, Bev, we better get you in on
well,
this.
Well, I just say thank you.
You two sound so much alike. You must be mother and father and daughter.
Yes.
You're heavy too.
Yep.
And I'm happy to. So thank you for listening. Thanks to Access Radio. And just keep it in mind, if you're listening to this from outside Taranaki, you're also very welcome. Plenty of accommodation and as you can see, a very caring community.
Tēnā koutou ku wai wahi ki tēnei kaupapa. Haere I runga I ngā manaakitanga. Ka kite anō e te whānau. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.